Our text this morning comes from the second chapter of Luke. Following the birth of Jesus, Luke records these events, beginning in the 21st verse. On the eighth day, when it was time to circumcise the child, he was named Jesus, the name the angel had given him before he was conceived. When the time came for the purification rites required by the law of Moses, Joseph and Mary took him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every firstborn male is to be consecrated to the Lord and to offer a sacrifice in keeping with what is said in the law of God, a pair of doves and two young pigeons. Now there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon who was righteous and devout. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was on him. It has been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Messiah. Moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple courts. When the parents brought in the child, Jesus, to do for him what the custom of the law required, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, "Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you may now dismiss your servant in peace. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all nations, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. This is a snapshot of a story of hope and faithfulness. And I don't believe you can have one without the other. Hope and faithfulness. It's a story of faithfulness because we see Mary and Joseph taking seriously their faith as Jewish parents. Moses' law stated that a male child should be circumcised on the eighth day. Luke duly records that Mary and Joseph were faithful in that. And then, 40 days after the birth of a male, the mother would present herself at the temple for a rite of purification following childbirth. If it had been a daughter, it would have been 80 days later. It was twice as long if it was a daughter. And Luke tells us, without being explicit, that Mary and Joseph probably combined three commandments from the laws of Moses into one visit to the temple. There was a command, as Luke reminded us, that firstborn males should be consecrated to God. And you went to the temple and you did that. There was the rite of purification, which they were going to do. And then from 1 Samuel, there was a rite within Judaism that you would dedicate a child, particularly a firstborn, to the service of the Lord. That's a significant rite for this particular child, isn't it? Mary and Joseph were faithful. They were faithful. They had proved that long before with the visit from the angel and Mary being a teenage, pregnant, unwed mother. Joseph obeying the word of the Lord through the angel to not divorce Mary, but to take her as his wife and to name the child Jesus. And when they got to the temple in Jerusalem, they provided a sacrifice, and it was the sacrifice of turtle doves or pigeons, which was the accommodation in God's law for people who didn't have the means to do the sacrifice of a lamb. And Mary and Joseph made that sacrifice. But before they got to where Joseph would offer that sacrifice, we don't know whether they were in the court of the Gentiles or the court of the women. They probably couldn't have gone farther than that because Mary is there when they encounter Simeon. But they're in the portion of the temple where all were welcome. All were welcome. And we encounter this man named Simeon, and we know very little about him other than that he was faithful and devout. And we assume along in years, because he had lived his life in devotion to God and longing to see God's promises come true. And God's greatest promise to his people in Simeon's life and in the life of his ancestors was that God would not leave us alone, but that a Messiah would come. And Simeon had watched faithfully for God's promise to be fulfilled. And he heard that still small voice of the Spirit which told him to go to the temple on that day. A faithful response to his God. And while he was there, he was compelled again by that Spirit of the living God to approach a young couple and to take that child and hold in his arms the hope of the world. The hope that he had longed for in his life. The promise of the living God that Simeon had been faithful to. Simeon held a baby. And he said to God in a prayer, "Your servant can now go in peace." Simeon said, "My life is fulfilled now, God. Your promise to me is realized. For I know this is the Messiah. This is the promised one." Faithfulness and hope vividly played out in this scene from the life of Jesus. Mary and Joseph, Simeon for decades had been faithful. And before them, in their arms, was hope realized, hope fulfilled. And it's not the kind of hope that we often refer to in our common vernacular. There's this optimistic, philosophical hope that we talk about sometimes that really translates into, "I think everything's going to work out okay. I think everything's going to work out okay." And we call that hope. But this hope is a hope that's rooted so much deeper than simply an optimism that life's going to turn out okay. This hope is a hope rooted in God because God is faithful. It's who God is. Simeon knew the story, the grand narrative of God and his interactions with human beings. And he knew that at every step of the way, God had been faithful. God had been faithful. I believe Mary and Joseph knew that. That's why they were faithful to God's law. Because they knew that God had been faithful, and the call that he placed on their life was to be faithful as well. And they could hope in that faithfulness of God. And as they stood together in the temple compound, hope was fulfilled. Hope was fulfilled. I'm not going to stand up here this morning for a myriad of reasons, not the least of which is there's some kids that really want to go do something else. And recount how hard the past 2 years have been for every person in this room. We know that. Time and time again over a 2 year period, I've heard people go, I just need some hope. I just need some hope. And we all know that that hope in our vernacular that everything's just going to be okay is hollow. Because we know that's not true. Sometimes things aren't okay. And that substitute for true hope becomes a deeper spiral into hopelessness. But the good news of great joy for all the people that the angels proclaimed to the lowly shepherds, that the Spirit of God tapped Simeon on the shoulder and said, there is hope fulfilled, that caused Simeon to take that baby in his arms and say, thank you, Lord, my life is now fulfilled, is the same source of hope because it is rooted in a faithful God, the God who was, is, and forever will be, and is faithful at each and every point along that continuum, is still faithful today, and the good news is hope is fulfilled in the person of Jesus Christ. And it doesn't mean life's going to be a cakewalk, but what it means is at every point in life, we are not alone. Because God has come. God put on flesh in the person of Jesus Christ. Thanks be to God. That, my friends, is hope fulfilled. That, my friends, is hope realized. And it is a hope rooted in the deep and abiding person of the living God. I don't know what 2022 is going to bring, but I know this. God will be with us every second of it. And his call on our lives is to be faithful and to face uncertain futures, the joys and the sorrows that it will bring, knowing that hope is fulfilled and God is with us. And because of that, joy to the world is not simply a carol we sing at Christmas, but it should be an anthem of our lives and every interaction that we have with every person we encounter every day. Because the greatest joy this world will ever know is that hope is fulfilled in the person of Jesus Christ. A faithful statement from a faithful God. Go from this place, this day, and tell of the good news. God is here, and God is with us, faithful with every breath we take. Father, we are grateful. We are grateful that you are with us. We are grateful that hope is revealed in your perfect faithfulness to us in the person of Jesus Christ. We thank you for Simeon, for his faith. We thank you for Joseph and Mary and their faith. But we give you glory and praise and honor for the gift of hope in the person of God in the flesh, Jesus, the Messiah. May every breath we take, every interaction we have, be a proclamation by how we love others that we have true and abiding hope in your faithfulness to each of us through Jesus Christ and what he has done for us. It's in his name we pray. Amen.